Welcome to our fortnightly Mark Langley question and answer podcast. I'm Jenny Barnes.
And I'm Mark Langley.
Mark, we've got some questions that have come through today. Denise has asked on tips to help her pony, who is now understanding that a nice calm trot is pleasant for everyone, but rushes in the canter and then in the trot.
Yeah, it's very common, Denise, that this happens. You know, it starts off sometimes from walk to trot that you get the rushy transition, but then once you've got the trot sorted, you know, the next gear is the canter. So there's a couple of things you can look at. One of the first things you'd really want to be looking into is the quality of your accelerator and what accelerator you use to get the horse to go faster. And one of the most common accelerators that we use is our legs, you know, from our sort of knee down, our lower leg, our calf to our heel. And so what I would be working on is how your horse feels about that, how your horse accelerates off that. And you tend to do a lot of walk transitions to find out that. So I'd be doing a lot of slow walk to fast walk, and I would use my heels. I would use basically my heel to get my horse very comfortable with that. And I'd get the horse very, very comfortable to a stage that you'd actually go from a really slow walk or even a standstill up to a fast walk quite quickly without the horse getting bothered or wanting to run off. And you would test that accelerator a lot, because at the walk you can get a lot done. And then at the trot also, you can start to accelerate your horse up in the trot and then bring it back down again and then up in the trot. So you just, you know, you just use the reins to slow your horse back down, and then you squeeze up in the trot to get a speed up in the trot. Same sort of thing that you were doing at the walk until your horse is very comfortable with the legs and that part of the acceleration. Now, the transition part, if your horse has done a lot of rushy transitions, sometimes even without legs, they may just rush into a canter. This is something I get people to do, to let a horse just sort of find a canter, but it's not something I recommend doing long term. It's something I'd only do, you know, so many times to know the horse is finding a safe canter. And this is not so effective for the horses that are really, really fast trotters that go like super fast at the trot. You know, if their trot is super fast, then basically if they fall into a canter, it's going to be quite a fast canter and it might be a little bit too much. But a lot of horses will just go from their trot into a canter. So I would do what I like doing is I like finding the trot that your horse is comfortable in and using a rising rhythm. This works better in a rising rhythm. And it's just basically you imagine that rising rhythm that your horse is comfortable in is a platform. And you basically get your trotting rhythm exactly in sync with that platform. So you and the horse are just centered together, trotting in the same rhythm. From that rhythm, you would start to use your trotting rhythm, and you would go down a step in rhythm and back up to the platform. Remember, the platform is your horse's most comfortable trot, the one it offers the easiest and is happy to stay in. And then you could go up off that trot one step and then back off that, back down to the horse's comfortable trot, until you can sort of get a range of steps in the trot that you can gauge with your seat. Now, once your horse is really hooking onto that, they really start to hook onto your seat and up trot and down trot, and they get so sort of focused on, you know, listening to that seat and in tune with you, that you just start stepping up the trot until they go, oh, well, I can't trot anymore, I might just try a canter. And you might just relax your seat when the horse thinks canter. Even if they don't get into canter, you might just find they just feel like they're just about to canter, and then you relax a little and then you bring them back down a few steps back into their comfortable trot, and then you go up again. And then you get to a point that your horse just feels like it'll just loosely go into canter. We'll just let it go loosely into canter. Just remember, as I said before, if your horse is a super fast canter, you're going to have problems because a super fast trotter, you're going to have problems because that canter may be a little too fast. But that one there just helps the horse just sort of find the canter itself and just, you know, go into canter. But basically, when you want your horse to when you want to sit and squeeze your horse into canter, you want to know you've spent a lot of time on the accelerator. So look, what I said earlier about the walk transitions and using your legs till your horse is comfortable with that, very, very important, until you know how much leg that you can ask and the horse knows how to respond to that leg. So you can say, well, I reckon this much leg is going to cause a canter and the horse is going to be comfortable about it. So, yeah, work on the legs and then try that rhythm, trotting rhythm, one until the horse just can fall into trot a couple of times and feel comfortable. And then basically down the track, you'll be sort of just saying, I'm going to sit and I'm going to squeeze, and the horse squeezes up to canter. And thanks for the question. It's a good one because I come across it a lot.
Okay, I've got a question about picking up back feet. It's a tug of war. It's a question from Liz. It's a tug of war, but she's fine for lifting up her front feet, but the black one, back ones are a different story. She's not trying to kick out, but I must be doing something wrong, she says, to make her unsettled about the back feet.
Okay, yeah. So tug of war may mean she's just kind of pulling away a little bit, not kicking. And one of the biggest problems, and there's a little video that's on our Facebook that is of me handling a racehorse, and it wasn't ideal conditions on the day it was done, but in the sense of the heat and the flies. But this horse had a real problem at just looking at people. And dealing with people on the right eye, especially so it was the right side. This horse had a lot of problems. But one of the, I think one of the underdone things I come across a lot in horses is how comfortable they are with a person at every part of their body down their side. And the other thing I come across is horses may have been handled down that side, but because they're still not truly comfortable, they carry a bit of a brace. And a brace is so common in horses. You know, there's the people talk about flight, fight, and the other one is brace. And a brace is like a freeze, or the other one's fight, flight, freeze. So to me, a freeze is just when that body braces up. And some horses will stand there very quiet when you handle down the sides, but you go to pick up a foot, and because they're kind of a little frozen and tense about the whole thing, then when you go to sort of, you know, handle the back foot, they fight. So that freeze and brace can turn into the arm wrestle that you're having, you know, the tug of war. So basically what I would sort of be looking into is how well does your horse walk past you? And I do a lesson where I get people to just lead their horses past their shoulder, and then you ask them to go by until that horse can just walk right past, and almost like your shoulder could just gently, or your hand could brush that horse right down to their hip, and that horse doesn't flinch, it doesn't rush, it doesn't step its hip away. So basically the horse moves softly in a straight line past you, and I really encourage a lot of people to do that with their horses both sides until they can pretty well go from, you know, having the hand on the horse's neck and the horse walks by while they rub all the way down, and there's no tension in the eye, the eye's soft, the horse is comfortable with that. And once that horse can move beside you both sides very comfortably and have its thoughts a little stronger to the side you're on, like, because you can have them bent to the inside a bit, not a big bend like bending them all the way around, but just enough to have their thoughts to the side that you're on, then basically once that horse, you know, can move past you really, really softly, then what's going to happen is it's confident at moving beside you, and that's how we avoid that freeze, because remember, a freeze will turn into fight or flight, and a fight is only what a horse does when it can't find flight. So when the horse can walk past you really softly, then something I do is I actually just get a horse to walk around me, and as it's walking by, I start handling down the hip, down to the hock. If you're a little bit nervous of that, well you can sort of obviously handle the horse with just a, you know, a rag on a stick, or, you know, whatever you want to make up, and you just, you know, even just a, you know, just a little branch with a few leaves on it, if you got that nearby or something, you know, just to, you know, have an extension of your arm. So as the horse is moving, you can just rub it gently with things, and just then basically once the horse can move beside you, you're just seeing if there's any particular sensory spots on the horse that you touch. And you know, for instance, horses that have had previous frights or things like that, where they've been sort of, you know, down the back legs or something, there might be one spot that is a bit of a trigger. So once the horse is moving beside you, you keep it moving, and you just gently handle its back legs, you know, with that rag on a stick or something, until you can handle its legs and the horse is moving softly but not moving in an evasive way, and the eye is still soft, and and comfortable with that. And once you've got that movement and handling on both sides of those hind feet, you've got basically life in the horse, but a quietness. The feet will be soft because the horse is moving, so they're not going to be braced and stuck on the ground in a freeze. And then once you can pick them up, basically then you go down and start to handle down the foot and start working on just getting your horse to just lift, not lift the foot, but just take the weight off the ground, and then just go to the other side and take the weight off the ground on that. So they just almost cop their leg. And once the horse can loosen its leg first, you just teach them to loosen one leg, loosen the other, loosen that leg. Then you go to start picking up. But a good thing to do for horses who are having a bit of trouble is if you've got to pick up pretty quick and get your hand underneath the foot so it feels like they're just putting their foot on the ground. There's not something wrapped around their leg at their fetlock. So, and then once they're quiet with that, then you can, you try and get them in every way quiet that you can pick them up just by putting your hand around the fetlock and picking them up like that, and they shouldn't be bothered by it. But it's the movement and the loosening and the acceptance of you down each side that's going to be the most valuable thing, I think. And that's the thing I always go to. And the horse has to be engaging with you on whatever side it's on. And in that video I was talking about, that horse wouldn't engage with me on its right eye. So because it wasn't engaging with me, it would block me out. And then all of a sudden, if it suddenly got a fright, well, it's going to kick out or snatch that foot back. Make sure when they're moving past, they're thinking on either side, there's a lot of hind foot problems out there, and front feet problems. Sometimes front feet can be some of the worst problem because it's right in a funny spot for those horses. But yeah, I hope that gives you, sends you on the right path. But yeah, down the track, maybe another question and answer. Just let me know how the horse is going.
This is a question from Rachel. Rachel has a mare who she's been riding for quite a few years, and she puts her ears back in a really threatening way on a trail ride when another horse comes near her. She thought that was due to a lack of confidence, but because she's been riding her for a few years now, she's thought the behaviour would have lessened. She doesn't react to the behaviour when it occurs, but is there something she can do to help her become more confident and comfortable closer to other horses?
Yep. Okay. It's an interesting question, that. And firstly, I'll start, I guess, I try and get people to think about the questions, and also for the people listening that tune in. The one reason why I don't train in a way that makes horses feel like they're getting pushed down the pecking order, I make energy and I push you away from my energy and I move you around like this all the time. The big reason I do it is because the horses start to carry anxiety and worry about things, worry about me, and the horses don't like being pushed down the pecking order. So basically what you were talking about, how she was at the bottom of the pecking order in the past. Now she's kind of in her little herd, which is only a small herd now. She seems to sort of be up. But some of those horses can carry the anxiety of what it was like to be at, not wanted in a herd. And sometimes I think, you see horses in a herd and it's almost like they're the unwanted one and you really feel sorry for them. And there's probably another herd out there that is really a much better herd for them. It's just that particular herd they're in, they never quite mesh into it. And so horses that are at the bottom of their pecking order, and I pose this question a lot at clinics to people just so I can find out, because, for me it's, I'm constantly, learning and to get feedback of people to say, hey, about how it was your horse that was pushed down the pecking order. A lot of them always say that their horse has little aggression issues and things like this, and they get angry and they sort of get angry at the person and things like that. So I guess what I'm saying is, because of that negativity of being at the bottom of the pecking order and that stress, they carry that stress in their life. Now, she may have already been a mare like this. I'm just posing this to say, hey, this is something that I've noticed a lot. So basically, she's going to be very protective around other horses, and her bubble is going to be a little bigger. Now, this is okay. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the world when you're on a trail ride and she sort of throws her hips around and starts backing up and trying to double barrel horses and really, you know, gets out of control. But if she's a couple of meters away from another horse and pins her ears, it's just, she's just telling you, my bubble's bigger than the other horses, and there's a reason for it. I've got a history. I've got a history of being pushed away. And then if she had her own little herd, and you'd find she might be very protective around those other horses as well, because it all comes from, you know, that. And as I say, there are some horses just like that anyway, but some of them I think it's been provoked a little more through that bad feeling. Now you're worried about it. If it's not dangerous, don't stress about it too much, because it's not dangerous. But if you know your horse and it becomes dangerous, then you've obviously really got to curve it. I'm still going to teach you to curve that behavior. So all I'd encourage you to do, so I won't go deep into the connection side of it, because by the sounds of it, you're aware of that. So the better the horse connects with you, the better they feel with you, the less the cup of worry, less worry in the cup. So if she was still anxious about the reins, still anxious about your legs a bit, still anxious about this or a lot of those things, not connected with you, obviously she's riding along with three shots of worry in the cup, and that horse walking up beside us just makes her reaction a lot bigger. So that's really important to address, but you're already sort of thinking about that. But, you know, think about that more. If there's any little things that you can see in the riding and training where she gets a little anxious, she doesn't understand, and that obviously can provide that extra of anxiety that makes the other horse the trigger to make her tip over. But in relation to when she pins her ears, basically all the horses that we're training to go out in a human environment, ride with other horses, you know, be exposed to things that aren't really, I guess conducive to horses, and you know that takes them out of their comfort zone. We have to be able to take over leadership at any time, and the horse doesn't feel like that's a bad thing. So a horse has to almost, when we decide to take over leadership, the horse is willing to hand it over, because they know in our training that we are confident leaders and they're happy to take over our leadership. So basically, when I start to see that behavior start to sort of come out, I'll just take the horse and I'll just distract it. I'll ride it somewhere else. I'll just say, don't worry about that. We'll just come over here. And I would try and be very quick, and I would really try and understand as soon as it starts to happen, not like, you know, she's pinning her ears and she's starting to look like she's going to kick, but when you feel her tighten up a little bit and that bubble starts to go, hang on, that horse is near my bubble, I would start to say, hey, distract that thought, take that thought away, and we'll go somewhere else, okay? Or so I would just change her thought, and you can use changing a horse's thought for lots of things, like distracting a worried horse, anything. And in my training, you might look at, I'm more constantly trying to, you know, take away a hard thought, replace it with a soft thought, and it's yielding those hard thoughts that is so important. And in our training, we're constantly trying to get a horse to yield its hard thought, like, and take that away, so then the mind's open for a new idea. So basically, you'll just take that hard thought, redirect it, and she'll be in half a second, she'll be thinking about something else, and you get good at that, until you might find around those other horses she hasn't had many hard thoughts and hasn't hung on to them, and she gets a little softer around them and gets more comfortable, because you've basically helped her manage that anxiety, I suppose, by redirecting it into taking it away. But yeah,
I've got a question.
It's very it can be a very annoying and also worrying thing, especially because you don't know what's going to provoke them to kick or bite or something like that. But yeah, thanks very much for the question.
Got a question here from Cherie. She has a 12-year-old stock horse gelding that she's been retraining, and she's been doing a lot of groundwork on him, but he has a lot of anxious energy, and quite a few times when she's leading him, he wants to push past. and almost cut her off. She says that previously she's backed him up and started again, but yesterday his behavior just kept escalating and he was showing signs of wanting to snake his head back around and bite. She's quite new to the group and she's been watching a lot of your videos, but she's wondering if there's a video that could point her in the right direction or if you could help her out here.
Yeah, well, I'll...
Just so that... She's just wanting to be able to walk, have him walk more calmly with her.
Okay. Yes, I'll answer the question here and I'll point you in the direction of a few videos, but any of the videos online that are involved in the leading and the one especially about using a flag and things like that, you'll find a lot of different techniques and things in there that you can do to help your horse. But I'm going to give you a very basic one because right at the moment I can't pinpoint the exact video that I'd put you to for this. So I'll talk about this because it's probably one of the most easiest things to do in the sense of, I could go and give it to a five-year-old kid and they could just pick it up pretty quick without, you know. And basically it's this is a lesson where you kind of roughly want your horse to know what position in that particular leading lesson you want them. So I position horses in many different areas in leading, but it's only because of the training that I'm doing at the time, whether it's developing confidence at leading out ahead of me or things like that. But when I've taken over sort of leadership and I want the horse to follow along because I'm walking forward leading through some difficult situations or the horse needs a bit more leadership, I tend to be a little out in the front of the horse off to the side that I'm leading. So a good little lesson that you can do, and I tend to give a horse a little bit more rope on this one, but not all. This is more of a, think of it as a liberty lesson, but you still got your horse on a lead rope. When I say liberty, the rope is not going to be, in this particular thing I'm going to talk about, it's not going to be the thing that guides the horse, but later on when the horse is a bit more connected, then you can actually show the horse where you'd like to be through the weight of the rope or the smile in the rope. But for this one, it's just basically getting that horse aware of you, aware of your speed that you're walking at and your energy and stuff like that. So all I do is if the horse is walking beside me and barges past me, as soon as that eye starts to get just about like it's going to go past my shoulder, I chuck a yui or a half yui. Now, for anyone, I don't know, around the world, if a U-turn is just a turn. So the reason I say yui in Australia is because when I say turn, well, a turn could be anything. So basically, you're either going to do a 90-degree turn to the left or you're going to turn all the way around and walk in a new direction. So, and walk like you mean it. So one, what it'll do is it'll get you out of your horse's way so you're not going to get squashed. Two, you're not actually running away from your horse and it's pushing you because you're redirecting your thoughts in a new direction. The important thing with this lesson though is the biggest thing when horses get a bit out of control is we turn into observers and managers. So we're looking at our horse, constantly managing them and trying to educate them, and we forget to manage ourselves. Now, what's the most important thing in leadership is looking like you believe in what you're doing. If you're looking at a horse trying to manage it and bump a rope or pop a flag or whatever you might be trying to do, you just look like you're standing there sort of at the horse. Whereas when a horse needs true leadership, I just go, I've got a better idea, I'm going over there. So when I do my U-turn or my 90-degree turn, depending on the level of the horse, you know, and how strongly I want it to focus. So when it goes past that eye, goes past my shoulder and I do my U-turn, I'm looking where I'm going and I'm walking like I mean it. I mean it. I'm walking this way. The horse, well, in this line of command, in a sense, I'm leading and you're responsible for you. I'm not responsible for you. You're responsible for you. And if there's another horse following you, well, you're not responsible for it. It's responsible for it. You know, we're not, you know, horses, we don't all sit around and have a union meeting on, you know, should we, shouldn't we, or this. It's I'm walking in a new direction. And what will happen is that'll create space. The horse will be back behind you again. It'll do a turn. If it doesn't do that turn, it'll probably find that there's the end of the rope there. And I might have that rope about maybe, I don't know, maybe sometimes 2 meters, depending on the horse, maybe a meter and a half. But don't let that rope touch the ground so the horse stands on it or anything. And every time that eye goes past you, do a U-ey, go in a new direction. Do a U-ey, go in a new direction and walk off. So the horse has got to catch you up a little bit. So it's that catching up that the horse is going, geez, I'm running a little bit late. And sometimes half the time after about maybe 5 to 10, you know, 90 degree turns or full U-turns, the horse is starting to rate you. Now, what is rating you? It's starting to pay attention to you. It's starting to rate where you're going. It's thinking about you. And then all of a sudden, it starts to put itself just back behind you again, because every time it went past and thought it's going to take leadership, it ended up trying to catch up to you running late. So that's a good lesson to help horses. Now, some anxious horses that are really having a little trouble connecting with our energies and stuff like that, then once the horse is rating me a bit, I start to tone it down. So when I see my horse think away, get tight, get anxious, put its head up and look like it's speeding up past my rhythm, then I start to breathe out, I relax my rhythm, and I just do a nice soft little turn to you know, 90 degree turn away from my horse, and my horse will start to soften and rate me, and then all of a sudden after a while you get to a point that your horse gets up a little bit and you just breathe out and relax and stand, and the horse will just go, oh, I'll just stand. But those turns get you out of the way of your horse and get the horse following you and tuning into you again. And it's not you turning around and having to chase your horse back all the time. It's just you. Because remember, turning around and saying, don't you push on me, is not a form of leadership. It's a form of control. So leaders make decisions, and then they have, I guess, control comes in after that. In the horses, yes, there might be like a stallion that'll say, hey, I need you guys to go with that herd over there because you're part of the herd and I'm going to run around. But just in a, and I'm going to run around and make sure you guys all go together. But what tends to happen is in a normal herd situation, just a basic herd out in, you know, someone's paddock or whatever, a horse goes, oh, I'm not going to have a drink. And then another horse might choose to follow it. But they don't go, hey, everybody, let's go and have a drink. Come on, would you like to come along? They don't go back and control the herd. They actually just make a decision. And sometimes when the herd is there's something going wrong, and there's you know, maybe there's a bit of anxiety in the herd because of something outside that's happening, then a horse that's got that makes good decisions under pressure might go, I think we should just go over there, and everyone goes, well, good decision, we'll follow. But that horse that made the good decision didn't have a big union meeting and say, hey, everybody, I think we should go over here. So that lesson I was just talking about, you're in charge of yourself, you be a good leader, you just make a decision to go somewhere else, and that horse will start to tune into you and actually follow you in a more of a soft way instead of turning around and saying, stop being pushy on me. Now, there are times that you might think when you stop, the horse is unaware of you and completely unaware, and that's when I'll start to bring in like maybe a flag. Now, the reason I use a flag is because I don't want to jump up and down and get all big and aggressive. I might just, because I know half the time horses push on us is not because of aggression, it's more because of unawareness of us. So I might just stop solid and calm and with a big smile on the inside and the outside. And when that horse is unaware and feeling like it's pushed on my boundary, I'll just pop the flag very quickly and it'll go, oh, what was that? Oh, you're there. And so, but I stood there calm the whole time. And when the horse looks at me standing there solid and calm like a tree, it goes, oh, you're not going to move, are you? Because you believe in your directions. You believe when you stand. So going back to what I said before, when you're walking somewhere, you're believing you're going in that direction. But also when you stand, you believe in that spot. You're grounded to the ground. And what your horse is doing is not influencing you. But if you think your horse needs help, you make a decision to help them. But by making a decision to do something, not control them. And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at there. But that little lesson will get your horse to rate you, come in behind where you like it, and then you can always branch off from there and teach it a bunch of other things like how to follow the rope and stuff like that. So yeah, but it's a very common thing. And I think at a lot of clinics, I see people working up in and the horse is ahead because it's anxious and the person's, you know, trying to control them and you know, they're only trying to help them. But yeah, sometimes just being true to yourself and making good quality, you know, strong decisions are really going to help. But thanks for the question.
Okay, our final question is from Lisa. She's just got a off-the-track thoroughbred that's a windsucker. And she says that he is completely unaware of her, even when she's standing strong. The flag means nothing to him when she uses it to try and gain some space. He just completely ignores it, even though she uses it as hard as she can on the ground. Yeah. She's had to resort in using the flag in a more stronger way, and she doesn't want to start to drive him away from her as she is working on connection, but she needs to find a way to stay safe. His windsucking desire is getting less as he settles in the pasture with the herd.
Okay. There's one little thing just right at the end of the question there. When he settles in the herd, his windsucking behaviour is going away. Now, this is really good because he's found a place to open up with other horses that's not the same as the environment that put him in the bad place that he's, you know, currently trying to get him out of, that shutdown, learned helplessness state. And windsucking is only it's like a coping mechanism to being anxious and locked up in a place. And you see a lot of weaving horses and windsucking horses that have been in confined non-horse environments and under lots of pressure that they don't really sort of compute with, you know, that they don't really understand so well. So yeah, the fact that he's out in a herd means that there's an opportunity in there. So say what I mean is, if you just walked up to him in a stable, he'd be shut down. But in the herd, he's actually interactive with the other horses, and he's probably being a normal horse, and turning into what he was born to be. So there's your first window of opportunity, is that environment where he's comfortable. Is approaching him in the herd. Now, this is the listening side of horsemanship. Now, listening, to be a trainer or a helper of horses, you have to listen, okay? It's just like that's not, it's almost like once upon a time, sorry, I'm branching off a little bit, but once upon a time when I started doing clinics, I was amazed at how many horses were trained robotically and weren't listened to. And it wasn't until I started doing clinics that I just saw so much of it. And some of those horses were trained with people with good intention of trying to do horsemanship to have a better, have a better horse. But the feelings of the horse weren't recognized enough. So is basically, if you're going to be a helper or trainer of horses, helper is a trainer. I say helper because I'd like people to be, training should be a helpful thing for horses, not just something that for our egos. So if you're going to be a helper of horses, there is no question, should I listen or should I not listen to my horse? Basically, you have to listen to your horse. So listening to horses that haven't been listened to in the past has a training aspect to it, and it will cause big shifts in your horse's anxiety, way they feel around you, and open up a lot more possibilities for your training. But listening is not training, and that's where I think, you know, I see a lot of people now that are really tuning into listening to their horses. My concern is that in their mind, I think they think listening is training. No, listening is the hard, cold reality that's what we have to do when we're with our horses, and it's listening that we get a lot of enjoyment out of it, because it's we're communicating with our horses. So anyway, back to your question and the horse. So when you go out in that paddock and your horses are more open to conversation because it's with that herd and it's not as shut down as it normally would be when it's out with that herd, even if you put them in an environment where it's not a huge paddock, I don't know what your paddock sizes are, but even if you just put them in a sort of a, not a small yard, but a bigger paddock that's not huge, that they're just going to run off over the hill. Just walk out in that herd and just approach the different horses and stuff like that that he hangs around, and just from a distance approach him and just start to find out when he starts to kind of get anxious, because in his herd environment, most horses that are shut down and kind of go through this kind of, you know, they tend to be actually not want to be caught when they're out there, and they actually try and get away from you. So, you know, or you just might start to shut down and freeze when you're out there, I'm not sure. But when you're out there and you see those signs of him acknowledging you, negative or positive, now negative could be he starts to harden and go square in the eye, an ear flicks away like he's thinking somewhere else, or you just, you know, anything like that that's negative, you just stop and say, oh, mate, oh, I'm putting too much pressure on you, aren't you? I'm listening to you. I might just step back and give you a little chance to sort of, you know, get comfortable with me coming over. And you might have to sort of take a little while to get over to him. But if he gave you a positive sign, which he might look at you and go, oh, hello, which he may not because of his history for a little while, but either way, if you stop and step back, if it was a positive gesture from the horse, then if you stop and step back, he's going to go, oh, and that's going to, where's she going? And it's going to cause a draw, and it's going to make him maybe think about taking a step towards you. If it's a negative interaction with you and he gets that hard eye or starts to sort of get nervous and look away like he's thinking about somewhere else he'd like to go to if you got too close, well, if you stop and stood back, well, you'd take the pressure off him and he'd go, oh, she usually just come over and catch me and I really don't like him, but she actually listened to me, so I feel a bit better about her and you might get more interested. So that's something that you have to do. Listen to your horses when you approach them, especially those ones that have had that sort of life. I mean, you have to listen to them all, but those ones are important because they've got so much trouble that has been put in there by people. So, yeah, so that's one side of the spectrum. The other side is the training side of the spectrum. And I know we shut down horses, you know, I hear it a little bit that, you know, if you put a shutdown horse under pressure, that's what makes them shut down. So, and I am starting to see people thinking, well, like, oh, I don't want to put pressure on the horse because it makes them shut down. Well, the reality of a shutdown horse, if they're shut down, they're kind of the worry cup's already three parts full, and a little, and sometimes too much pressure makes them react and come out with a lot of, you know, anxiety. So they overreact. So a shutdown horse tends to overreact when they can't cope, but they don't shut down. They shut down to a certain amount of pressure, but then they open up when it's too much. So pressure opens up horses. And my other little saying is, you know, if you're standing in an arena with a shutdown horse and a big tiger suddenly walks through, well, you think your horse would be shut down. It wouldn't be shut down. It'd go, holy Salula, there's a tiger. I'm going to get out of here. It's generally the people's pressures and the association of what the people are doing to the horse that's made them shut down. So back to sort of the pressure side of things is when we put with your flag, the horse is not interested in the flag, it's blocking it out, it's shutting out. So maybe be a little creative with the flag. Sometimes I'll put it up in the air, give it a quick whoosh or a quick here or a quick there. And then I might just see that horse go, what was that? And have it quite random, because a lot of people I see, I'll get the flag and I'll give it one bang and the horse goes, hey, but the person will be there trying to do the same thing and the horse is just going, blah, 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 blah. And it's just the way I did it. I just did it very randomly, very quickly, and it was gone and the horse went, what was that? That was just, you know, and you see him move and think. And so sometimes maybe you could try to be a little bit creative with the flag, quicker and random with it. And then the horse might suddenly open up to it. So if you think he's just distracted, you'll be quick and random with the flag. He'll think across and he'll go, what was that? And then all he sees when he comes across to you with his thoughts is a very calm, smiley, strong person standing there available to help him at any time. He wants to come in and say hello and say, I'm here to help. You know, you're here to help him. So so that you can use that distraction. But horses that are sort of like him, There's more of a lesson I do. It's not a lesson of to teach them to do fancy things. It's more of a lesson for chronic braces and chronic shutdown horses. I will create a stimulant that they actually feel that they have to move away from. Now, when people follow, you know, some of the help that I'm offering, they kind of think that we don't push horses away, and I don't. push horses away to motivate them and make them always move away from me. But in this lesson, you have to show a horse that when it's scared of something, it's allowed to do something about it. And that's the thing we have to hand back to the horses to put them back, to make them be a horse again. Is if something happens, you're allowed to do something about it, which means if I wave a flag and you're bothered by it, you're allowed to move away from it. And I show horses, if you're bothered by this, move. And I wave the flag or do something that makes them move. I try hard to make it an object that they're moving from opposed to my energy. So I don't go chasing on them and making them move away from me. It's more so I'm just trying to get them to spook enough to go, I need to shift. Now, if he gets a bit frozen and tightens up, what's going to happen? He's going to do a big shift first because he's been frozen, and then all of a sudden he's going to go pop out of that freeze. But what you're trying to show him is as soon as you loosen and shift, even if it's just thinking across and just stepping the foot over a bit, that thing that you were scared of will go away. And then he goes, right, I can actually regulate my own anxiety, can I? I don't just have to stand here and just, you know, windsuck or something like that. I can actually move. And so they move. And then after a while, the horse, if you put a flag and just wave it a little, he'll just bend in the body and just shift over a little and do it really softly. So what's happening is when that flag creates half a shot of worry, he tips it out by shifting just a tiny bit softly. And then so he's regulating his worry cup opposed to what may be happening before is he's just blocking it all out until he gets explosive, which means he'll be worried about something, but more shots of worry are going in the cup until it spills over. So he gets bothered by something, he regulates it by shifting and just going, I've just done something about that. And that'll turn him back into being a normal horse again, in the sense that he's actually regulating that anxiety and doing what a normal horse would do. Look at something they're scared of, engage with it, then maybe move away from it, whatever they do. But they always kind of engage with the scary thing for a moment. And also when they run off, they're reacting. But it's the acting and reacting that you have to keep in the horses. If you take that away, then they shut down. But what happens with him is instead of him freezing, frozen and shut down or anything like that and blocking out the flag or something like that, he acts instead of freezes and then reacts, okay? So because he's acted about that worry and he's acted more thoughtfully, then he's tipped the worry out, so there is no reaction, there's no need to react. And that's, you know, I know it's a bit long and it's going to, people be going to find it a little hard to follow what I'm trying to say here, and it's much easier to watch me do it with the horse, but I don't want everyone to go out there and chase horses around with flags to make him move away from it to do this, but it's more so put enough pressure on him with the flag that he actually moves and then take it away until he realizes that, yeah, I've got to pay attention to the flag. And then you can start to maybe use that flag again just as a distraction because he's not blocking it out as much. But that lesson that I told you, if he has a freeze tendency or anything like that, or for anyone else that has a horse with a freeze tendency in that shutdown state, it can start to unlock them and get them to think about things. But the idea down the track is when you use that flag and they're acting and they're thinking about it, then instead of let them move away from it, that's when you ask them to follow a field with the lead rope and maybe walk towards the flag. So the answer is not by always moving away. It's just moving towards the question that you're asking or the feel that you're offering your horse. So, yeah, you have to sort of eventually change that lesson a bit. But to open up a really locked up, shut down horse, it's important that they can move. There's another part of the question, I think, in there too. But yeah, the other thing is you can also try is take your horse. No, it's probably not good because most horses like him, if you took them into an environment that causes them not to be shut down, which is an environment which is a little too much for them to deal with, if they've been shut down to people the whole time, basically they're just going to sort of, he's going to run over the top of you. So I wouldn't be sort of doing that until he's aware of you. And that brings me back actually to the point in the question, which I haven't really kind of dealt with, is the bit where you said that he actually, you know, doesn't see the flags, or sometimes he runs into you. If you've done that little lesson with the flag and used it enough that he realizes he has to shift, then basically he's learned to relieve himself by moving off what he's worried about and just stepping off it a little bit. So if you're walking ahead of him and he starts to want to push on you, he's unaware of you. So when you stop your feet and you think he's going to push your bubble, know where your bubble is, know where the boundary is, and then wave the flag when he hits that boundary, and he'll kind of stop going, oh, and then he might just step back a little bit because he's learned to move off that flag a little, but you haven't turned around and chased him backwards. You just showed him where your boundary was, where that bubble was, and then you just stand quietly when he stands, and then you walk off again. A horse stepping away from something that it's concerned about is not necessarily driving it. It's just showing them that that's what they would do anyway. But it's us pushing our energies on horses that are driving all the time. So if a horse just bounces off if it hits my boundary, I'll just say, hey, be aware of my boundary, and I'll wave the flag big or something, and it might step back a little. It's not me stepping into the horse to say, I'm going to drive you back for that. It's just me saying, hey, there's my boundary. But by not chasing the horse backwards after that's happened, they don't start to feel threatened by me as some sort of pushy horse that's going to fight them if they suddenly push on us. But, yeah, I hope you don't get too lost in that answer. But, yeah, it's something to sort of look at another question and answer it, of maybe breaking it down a little bit and, you know, try a little bit of what I said and then maybe see how you go, even if you went out and tried to listening in the paddock and come back with some feedback, and then we can sort of maybe another question and answer, look into that and what happened out in the paddock, and then we can go, okay, well, this happened out in the paddock, good responses, bad responses, and then maybe we could sort of break down, you know, at another time, well, I tried this with the flag and this happened, and then I got a bit of an idea how you're going, or to more directly help those little specific things. But thank you for the question.
That's it for today.
Thank you.